Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Welcome to Fearless Generations. This is Terry Sayer. Kelly's not
hey,
feeling
Terry.
Well tonight. Hi, how are you, dear?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for helping me out. My little Kelly isn't feeling too good tonight, so it's a pleasure to have my other daughter with me.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
I haven't talked to you for a while. How are you doing, Miss Kara?
I'm good. I'm doing really well. Thanks. It's nice to hear your voice.
Good. Good to hear your voice, too. Kara has been doing an amazing job for our fly community with a new newsletter that she's created.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah, it's really impressive to see the quality of the work that you're doing as well as the quantity. It's an amazing combination of information about other coaches and what's going on within our community. So I've really been enjoying that, and it sort of fits in well with our topic this month, which is connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, is the step of connection. And last week we had a guest on our show, Debbie from Canada,
mm-hmm.
was our guest, and she talked about the importance of connection and helping in our community of that no one can be fearless alone, and how the connections we have belonging to this community of coaches
mm-hmm.
really cultivates that connection as well. So that was, I'm kind of looking back at my notes of the things that she said
mm-hmm.
and honoring our feelings and our experiences that help us to produce those feelings and connect with our body and connect with our, whatever our goal might be. This year, I'm working on self-care. And so I've been talking about connecting with my body in terms of getting enough sleep, which has really made a difference in my capacity, you know, to connect, because my brain can work because I've got enough sleep.
And that's important. Your brain working is definitely important.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it helps a lot. So, I think tonight Kelly wanted to talk about forgiveness and connection, how connection allows us that capacity to forgive both ourselves and how that really is a way that we can move forward as we connect with ourselves and forgive ourselves, and then are able to reach out and forgive others.
Yes.
As a part of connection and compassion for ourselves. And we talked a little bit about our essential natures and our core needs last week when we were visiting with Debbie, and how connecting to that really helps us to shift in our ability to connect to others as well.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so let's just get a little of insight and wisdom from Kara on this whole step of connection.
Sure. Connection is actually a really important step, especially for me, because I know when I'm in fear, that's one of the first things that goes out the window. I'm not connected to myself, and I'm not connected to anybody else. I definitely isolate and withdraw, and just kind of, it kind of makes me think of, like, you know those vacuum cleaners that have those, this is such a weird visual, that have those power cords where you press a button and it gets, like, sucked back into the machine?
Yeah.
I have
one of those on my iron.
That's kind of how I get when I get triggered in fear. It's like all of a sudden I just, like, suck that connection cord back inside of myself. So connection is definitely something that that I'm continuing to work on, and what I'm doing within the fly community definitely supports that, helping people to stay connected. And when I'm connected to myself, through my essential nature, it's definitely something that can support me being able to have more compassion for myself and others too.
Awesome. Is that your essential nature, compassion?
No, actually, my essential nature is trusting.
Trusting.
So tapping into trusting myself really helps keep me out of my fear and embrace my freedom. And if I embrace my freedom, then I'm more likely to connect with other people and connect to myself. And, you know, it's interesting what you said earlier where you said connecting to yourself with self-care. And sometimes when I think of connection, I think of it as an outward, external thing. So you really have me thinking about, you know, what does connecting to myself really mean and how can I do that more?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. I think that that's an interesting way to delve deeper into the idea of connecting with oneself and what kinds of proactive behaviors allow us to take that risk to connect to ourselves in order to connect to others. I just feel like if I, my essential nature is compassion, and so that's the one thing that I deny myself more, you know, more than I could have. You know, I just, now I seek to be compassionate for myself because I know that I can't really have compassion for others unless I am forgiving and compassionate and kind to myself.
Sure.
So connecting to that compassion for me, what it's done for me in my work is allowed me to be vulnerable. And that vulnerability has allowed me to make deeper connections with other people than I ever even imagined I could make. Because being a recovering perfectionist and, you know, being so good at beating myself up, I always had, like you say, you suck yourself, you know, you suck back into yourself like a vacuum cleaner, a retractable vacuum cleaner cord.
Yes.
What I did was just become more loud and more authoritative and less tolerant in order to make up for not having compassion for myself. So in order to be more perfect and more in charge and more knowledgeable and more, you know, that was what I would do. I would just become bigger. Instead of retracting, I would become something I wasn't. You know, I would become a fake, what I would say was a fake authority. You know, I would just pretend I knew everything and I would speak louder with more authority and more, I don't know what the word, I thought of the word today when I was teaching a workshop. It was like being abrasive, you know, almost like pushing people away. And that's what was happening with that kind of behavior. So when I started to have compassion for myself and kindness for myself and connect to that, I became vulnerable. And that vulnerability allowed me to share the knowledge that I have in a totally different way that other people were drawn to. And then I could actually do my passion, which is, you know, helping others to find their own greatness and to empower people to do the work that they were meant to do. And before, I was turning people off because I was just being so brash and out, you know, know-it-all kind of person. So that kind of the opposite of what you did, you know, sucking in. I would just go out there like a, you know, like a bull in a china closet and and just try to prove how smart I was or how good I was at what I was doing. Because I had no compassion for myself. I was not connecting to that at all. I was connecting to my fear of not being perfect. So, yeah, that's been my experience. I embrace vulnerability now as one of my most desired qualities. I would have never thought that that would be something I found supportive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what's at the core of true connection? You know, if we're really going to connect with each other and we're not being vulnerable, to me that sounds very surfacey, you know, like, oh, how are you? How's the weather? And those interactions can be fine. But to really connect with another human being, I would think at least my experience has been that there does have to be some vulnerability, and even within myself, sometimes I have to be vulnerable with myself to really connect with my heart or my feelings or my soul. That's something that I've really been practicing. Go ahead.
When you're vulnerable with yourself, what does that feel like or look like? Or
oh boy. It's interesting because I was just talking to somebody about this today, that I've been feeling that way for sure. And I don't even know how I would describe it. It almost feels like there was this kind of like a, I picture like you can't even see me, I'm like touching my chest, but I picture like there's my heart, and then beneath that is like the core of my being, like my soul is all the way in there. And there was almost like this film or something over my soul where, like, I never really was able to tap into that. And when I'm being vulnerable with myself and I'm really allowing myself to have and experience and express different emotions and let them come up without judgment, it's like that film goes away and I can, all of a sudden, I can breathe. I don't know how to describe it any more than it's like a visceral thing. Like, I can just tap into my soul, and it feels, I feel like everything has just opened up for me when I'm able to do that. And I've been experiencing that a lot more. I've been dealing with a couple of situations. There's a lot of emotion involved, and I'm just kind of letting it come up and move through me without judgment and without panic and without trying to stuff it back down. And it can be really scary to even be alone with those feelings and that kind of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. But the more that I do that, the more I feel like I'm really able to connect to the core of who I am. And I feel much
beautiful.
More, thank you. And I feel like very peaceful in the midst of some very transitional situations, like almost like, I don't want to say the eye of the storm, because they say that that's usually like where it's like craziest outside the eye, but it's almost like I have all this stuff going on around me and all these situations that I'm dealing with, and yet somehow, even with all the different emotions, I actually feel kind of okay.
And that's when you're connecting. Yeah, that's what you're saying is that's when you're connecting to that inner core, because you're willing to be vulnerable.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I would have a difficult time explaining that, but to me it is peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my, you know, that's my sweet spot in life, is peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to, and just like you said, being able to have things going on around you that are not what you would, you know, if you could pick the most perfect life, it wouldn't have those things going on in it. But yet they are going on, and they're not destroying that peaceful feeling.
Yes.
And that's compassion for yourself, you know, not judging yourself, not judging the situation, but allowing and trusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trusting in my higher power that all will be well, and that I believe that, and I'm going to be open to not having expectations around those issues, but just being with them and allowing them to happen and allowing myself to have that feeling of peace. And that is a great connection. And I think once you feel that and you can get to that point, then those connections can be strengthened and then can give you, you know, the I don't know, I guess it empowers me to be able to walk in a peaceful way through a tumultuous situation, you know. And, I mean, really and truly be peaceful.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you said that jumped out at me was that you allow yourself. And sometimes it almost seems like we have to give ourselves permission to either be vulnerable or to really connect with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to write that down too. I always take notes when I'm doing these shows. Because then it helps me to go back. Yeah, so that, I think I talked a couple weeks ago on the show about how I've heard coaches, since I've been in the Fearless Living family, talk about providing and I never quite understood what that meant. I mean, you know, I could say it, but I really didn't understand what that meant until recently when I started to clear out some things in my life and try just really commit to self-care in the form of eliminating this busyness syndrome that I get caught up in when I'm in fear. It's part of my, you know, perfectionism, which is never going to go away. I mean, it's an addiction. And so I deal with it, and I'm a recovering, practicing, not being, you know, a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And giving myself space to allow the self-care to take up the space of the busyness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of fits into what we're talking about now as well, is if there's not space for vulnerability and there's not space for peace and joy and that allowing or permission to be compassionate for yourself, then that also ties in with the lack of space. If there's no space there because you're filling it up with busyness in order to feel powerful instead of allowing space and vulnerability and compassion to give you the power, empower you. So that's an understanding that I thought for me it was really helpful, because that brings me peace as well, thinking I've provided some space here. Now I can allow that or give myself permission to fill that space with compassion, or to fill that space with the peace that comes from tapping into my soul and meditating. And, you know, just so it's really given me a way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to feel that peace, because there's space there.
Mm-hmm.
And how important that is to provide. If I'm going to take care of myself, a big part of that is to provide space.
Yeah, that's such an important point. I actually never really looked at it like that. And yeah, I mean, how can we add something like self-care or really anything into our lives if we don't have the time and the space for it and we don't create it and set aside that time? You know, one of the things that I'm doing for myself is I'm really trying to be more active physically, and that can be sort of challenging. December in New York, but unfortunately we've actually been having some freakishly warm weather. It's been like 60, 65 degrees almost every day.
Yeah, I know.
But I find that for me to do that, that's actually one of the ways that I connect with myself, is I will go on a walk and I'll stick my headphones in, sometimes I won't, but I actually do create a time and a space. Like I will say to myself, okay, at this time every day, this is what I'm doing. Because if I don't do that, it is very easy to get caught up in other things, and then I'm really not connecting to myself in that way. And I find that when I'm not creating a space for that and when I'm not connected to myself, I feel so totally distracted when I'm trying to connect with other people. It's like there's almost a barrier there, like where I can have a conversation with someone and I can look, you know, like I'm sort of engaged and stuff, but I'm not really there because I don't have anything to give if I haven't given to myself first.
Yeah, that's great. That makes so much sense, because it's just, that's one, I mean, right now I'm taking baby steps. You know, I'm taking stretches to create this year where I'm going to have self-care, and my first step was sleep. And because I get along on 3, 4, 5 hours sleep, you know. I mean, I don't really get along, but I tell myself I get along. And the difference of committing to 6 to 7 hours of sleep, and I mean, so I'm so conscious about it that I count, you know, if I go to bed now, I can get up then. You know, I mean, I'm really making a commitment and learning the rhythm of my body and what's the best time to go to bed in order to go to sleep, because I have this internal clock that I wake up at a certain time, and once I wake up and my brain starts going, it's done. I'm done. You know, I have to get up. So I'm learning that about myself, and so I'll even say to myself, this is done. I might as well get out of bed, you know. I'm just wasting my time laying here trying to go back to sleep. So last night, if I had gone to bed at 10:30 instead of waiting till midnight, I could have gotten my 7 hours of sleep, you know. But it's learning to listen to your body and then provide that space that you can accomplish that, and it just makes a huge difference in my energy level mm-hmm. and my capacity to, you know, can stay true to what I my intention is for the day. So I've been working on sleep for a couple of months now, and so I'm ready to move to the, because I have three goals. First is to get enough sleep, and then is to eat better foods, eat more fruits and vegetables and more protein. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is to get into some kind of, like you said, you called it a time and a space for exercise, you know, for movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the three things that I'm committed to do this year, is mm-hmm. to make time and space for those three things to be internalized and become mm-hmm. a part of my, you know, my way of living. So that I can live longer and not really, I figure I'll live to be 100, but I want to live a life of energy and vigor. And I can do that if I take care of my body, you know, and because I'm blessed to have a really healthy body, and I want to remain that way. And as long as I live, be healthy. I mean, I'm not really counting on a certain, you know, number. But as long as I live, I want to be able to have strength and energy and vitality. And so that's why this year I picked that as my thing to work on, because I was starting to feel a little fatigued, you know, and I think I can overcome that fatigue by getting enough sleep and eating properly and moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I like the way you said that.
I'm sorry?
I like the way you said that about creating time and space for moving around, mm-hmm. you know, and every day going on a walk or whatever you decide to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a huge compassion piece, you know, since we were kind of talking about that too. You know, sometimes depending on the day, I'm not always able to do it at the time that I originally thought I would, or I get caught up in something or whatever. And I really have to practice having compassion for myself then, because it gets dark at, 4:30 here or something like the 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't really, I mean, I live, my neighborhood's, you know, fine for the most part, but I don't really feel comfortable as a female walking around in the dark. So if the sun starts to set, I have to catch myself to say, okay, you know, I didn't take my walk, but what else can I do to support myself in feeling connected? So mm-hmm. I have a yoga mat. I have some weights. I've been doing different exercises with that, sometimes in addition to the walk, sometimes if I can't do the walk. But it's always having the compassion to not beat myself up over what I didn't do, but looking at, right. okay, well, what can I do to stay connected? Or like tonight, for example, it was absolutely pouring. There was no way I was going for a walk. So I had to find other ways to, you know, honor that commitment to myself and do it compassionately instead of, you know, berating myself, oh, you should have gone out earlier because it was sunny earlier. I really find that for me too, acknowledgement really, really helped me with having compassion for myself, because even if, you know, I walked for an hour yesterday and then today it was only half an hour, when I acknowledge myself, it really focuses on the things that I am doing in freedom. Do you find that helps you too?
Oh, yeah. Last week we were talking about strategies, and that's one thing that when I came to the Fly community and I went through my own personal coaching,
mm-hmm.
the daily training manual, I mean, I don't do that, but I do gratitudes and acknowledgments every day,
mm-hmm.
and that's a commitment that I've made,
mm-hmm.
and it really is helpful to me, and I find that keeps me centered, keeps me able to tap into that real core, that soul within myself. And so if I make time and space for that, which is an indication to me that when things are supportive, I definitely can do that. I can do that commitment, and I can make time and space to do the things that nurture me and support me. And mm-hmm. so I also keep a daily log, which supports me as well, because I like you talked a little bit about getting distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm easily distracted. And so by keeping the log, it helps me to stay focused on, mm-hmm. otherwise I can become really distracted, easily.
Sure.
And knowing that about myself, those are tools that I use that a lot of people use when they're going through their coaching training. But as soon as they become a coach, I'm never doing those again, you know, because those are things that we have to do. And, you know, they're kind of like a chore. But to me, those are three things, gratitudes, acknowledgments, and a daily log that support me in staying focused and able to have compassion for myself because I can keep it. And it helps me with my acknowledgments as well to keep track of things that I'm committed to doing that day. And then seeing how I use my time. So it holds me accountable as well, which when you're easily distracted, accountability becomes an issue in terms of nurturing yourself and being compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be compassionate and kind to yourself, but you can't let yourself off the hook, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that's enabling yourself to not move forward. So for me, that's an accountability tool that assists me in staying, staying focused so that I don't beat myself up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's such a great awareness, too, that you have that you do get distracted. And, you know, along with that, that you can find things to do to support yourself instead of, like you said, instead of beating yourself up. Once we have the awareness of kind of like the places where we get a little bit stuck or we get a little caught up in fear, we can totally grab whatever tools support us to move us out of that and into freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was thinking a little bit about, you had mentioned too in the beginning of the call, compassion and kind of like leading to forgiveness. So how do you see the idea of connection and compassion supporting a concept like forgiveness?
Yeah, I think it's like you were saying as well, that in order to have compassion, I think compassion and forgiveness go together hand in hand. And in order to have compassion, you forgive yourself for things, and you forgive others as well. And I know that's been a sticking point for me, and I know it has been, you know, I think it is for everybody, but I'm not going to make that blanket statement. But the more I can forgive myself and the more I can move forward, the more I have a willingness and an awareness that there are some things in my life that when I can get to the point that I can totally forgive these people that I still haven't forgiven, that's going to, and I just feel like I'm getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer. The more compassion I have for myself and the more connected I am to myself and recognizing my own humanity, now I'm just feeling closer and closer to the point where I'll be able to let go. And I feel like I have let go in little baby increments, but to get to that point where I really can let it go. And that would be, you know, my ability to forgive where I'm still hanging on to little bits and pieces of the past that I have not let go of. And I think that compassion and connectedness to my own vulnerability, my own humanity, is what's guiding me and leading me towards that ability to really honestly forgive and let it go.
I love that. I love what you said about humanity and recognizing and embracing your own. And right away I thought, like, wow, it's almost like what comes up for me is like seeing innocence, you know, not necessarily condoning behavior that you know, we don't appreciate or that's hurtful or allowing it back in our lives, but being able to see our humanity supports us in seeing the humanity of other people.
Exactly.
And, you know, recognizing where someone might have made a mistake or, you know, just acted out of integrity and being able to forgive that and let that go. And you're right, it does totally start with us seeing that in ourselves because we all have the capacity to do that.
I'm glad you brought that back up because I think that connection to our own humanity allows us to see it in others. And
I'm writing
that
down.
That's one of the things that I think could really change the whole culture that we're seeing in our world right now, where hate is, you know, so abounding so much and fear is just gripping people's hearts so much. If we could just see each other's humanity, that it could make such a difference.
Yes.
Well, we have 10 seconds left, and I thought it was going to last a long time, and it went by so fast.
It did. Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like we could talk another half an hour about this.
Well,
it's
we
nice
could,
to
and thank
have
you
come back.
For helping out. I love you, and it's so good to be able to hear your voice, and I look forward to seeing you in February.
Oh, hope so. Love you, too.
Okay, good night.
Thank you. Good night. Be fearless.
Thank you, and good night to our listeners, and everybody be fearless. Have compassion and connect to your soul. Good night.
Good night.